Job chapter 12, if you would, please. We're going to begin in verse 6. Job and chapter 12 and verse 6. As we continue to look at, by the way, we know how the story goes, okay? And a lot of people get impatient as they go through chapters 3, you know, to the end. Please stand out of love and respect for the word of God. All I'm trying to say is a lot of people skip the meat of the book of Job. And the different valuable lessons that are in here. So let's begin in verse 6. I'm going to read down through verse 11. And then we may or may not be able to talk about some of the other verses as we go through the end of the chapter here. Maybe tonight. I'm not going to promise anything. The tabernacles of robbers prosper. And they that provoke God are secure. Into whose hand God bringeth abundantly. But ask now the beasts, and they shall teach thee. And the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee. Or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee. And the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee. Who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this? In whose hand is the soul of every living thing, and the breath of all mankind? Doth not the ear try words, and the mouth taste his meat? With the ancient is wisdom, And in length of days, understanding. With him is wisdom and strength. He hath counsel and understanding. Now remember, Job is kind of finding himself, okay? He's maybe in some ways kind of getting past the grief, and I don't mean over it, if you will, but he's kind of coming to his senses, because I want you to understand, I don't think Job was the timid type. Concerning his faith and concerning his God. I believe he was kind of probably a standout in his region, in his area, as he served God faithfully. We know this of his testimony before God. And by the way, I want you to realize that maybe in these first 9 or 10 chapters or so, this thing really hit him hard. I mean, he was knocked back. And you know, just by how silent he was for so long. And really, even his rebuttal to Eliphaz wasn't as bold, right? We can see how his rebuttal to Bildad got a little bolder. And finally, I think Zophar slapped him hard enough that he kind of came out of it and said, "Whoa, you can't do this to me." I mean, are you seeing the tone here in chapter 12? All right. And so, yeah, I can see it too. So I want you to look at verse 6 tonight, because we're going to see Job opposing the very principle that the friends have come up with. And what is that principle? That principle is that wicked people get judged from God. That's their principle. That's their foundation. That's what they're bringing this up on. And Job is going to say no to that. All right? So look what he says. He says, the tabernacles of robbers prosper. So in his day, you understand that it's probably a lot like today, to where robbers prosper, seemingly. Okay? Now the truth is, robbers, the ones that have gotten away with it, if you will, have lots of money, have lots of things, and they are, if you will, prosperous, right? Case in point, think about Mr. Zacchaeus, right? He was a wee little man, but his bank account was not, right? He was wealthy, and we know the scripture tells us he was wealthy, and it also tells us how he got it, by being a good tax collector, or, if you will, being a bad tax collector, okay? Right? And so, was he, if you will, prosperous? Yeah. And guess what? When Jesus came to his house and he received salvation, Jesus did not tell him to give it all back. Did he? That was Zacchaeus' idea. Okay, he got right about it. Now, I just want you to understand that that just because people are wrongdoers doesn't mean they don't have abundance, doesn't mean they don't have things, doesn't mean they don't have a place in the community, etc. I'm just telling you, and Job is telling us, that this was happening in their day too. His friends were just not seeing it. He says the tabernacles of robbers prosper, and they that provoke God are secure, into whose hand God bringeth abundantly. Now, he's rightfully attributing something here, okay? You say, how in the world can you believe, Pastor, that God is going to abundantly provide for the wicked? That doesn't make sense, does it? Would anybody think that? Well, I guess I wouldn't either, except that God's word says it does. He says, into whose hand God bringeth abundantly. Okay, so that puts our thoughts in a tailspin, doesn't it? God, why would you prosper the wicked? Now, is that what God's doing? Prospering the wicked? Not necessarily, right? But who is attributed to all things and the control of all things? God is. Go to Psalm 73. David talks about this. Just a few pages over. Several pages over. Psalm 73. This is a psalm of Asaph, it says here. It says, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, by the way, that's the doctrine of the friends here, right? God's going to be good to those who are right with God. The psalmist says, though, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious at the foolish. Now listen to these next words. You've probably heard this verse before. When I saw the prosperity of the wicked. There's another verse in the Bible that tells us that, doesn't it say God reigns on the just and the unjust? Folks, we're all cursed. And I teach a series of lessons of why do bad things happen to God's people. And you know, there are some reasons for things, but you know what? Mankind is a cursed creature because of the fall of mankind. And by the way, the whole world was cursed because of that. We have the sweat of the brow thing. We have the thorns thing. We have, you know, all the stuff on our earth is because of that. But we need to realize that our world still goes around. The sun still shines. The rain still falls. People are still born in certain circumstances, certain countries. Disease is still here. Right? Illnesses. Cancer. I mean, I could go on. Right? Accidents. Why things happen to some and don't happen to others. All of it is in existence. So if you go back to the text, that's what Job is saying. And by the way, there's way more here what the psalmist says in Psalm 73. You can keep reading that. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. By the way, none of that's true. It's just how it seems to be. Right? Like the song that we sing, Farther Along, right? It seems like God's not... But folks, please don't misunderstand. There's judgment's coming. It just may be delayed. But Job's trying to help his friends realize. He's trying to hit the reset button. And he says, look, the tabernacles of robbers prosper. They that provoke God are secure, into whose hand God bringeth abundantly. So he's making some correlations to that modern day and the apparent injustices that seem to be out there, trying to refute what his friends are saying, that God only punishes the wicked. And by the way, he's just also trying to say that God doesn't always punish the wicked immediately. And I want you to understand what he's trying to say here. Not only is he talking about the punishment and lack of punishment, he's also talking about, then why couldn't God punish a just man? Quote unquote. Right? Because they're trying to put an absolute that God only punishes the wicked. And by the way, what was happening to Job wasn't a punishment. We understand that. But that's what it seems like because of the greatness of his loss. So he says, now not only does he go into the idea of the people, but he also now goes to nature. Okay? He says, look at nature, guys. He says, but now ask the beasts, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall teach thee. Or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, and the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee. So it says, who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this? So he's speaking about nature's revelation. So again, he's trying to build a case about our God and about his God. So think about the beasts of the field. Are there stillborn animals? Yes. Are there animal families that are ravaged by disease, burnt with fire, you know, things, I mean, killed by other groups of animals? I mean, do you understand? Just in nature. The tornadoes, tsunamis, earthquakes, volcanoes, I mean, landslides, mudslides, rock slides, you know, fissions and things and explosions. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff, right? Forest fires, lightning strikes. You could go on and on. Droughts, right? And what did the earth do to deserve that, right? What did those animals deserve to do that? Were they wicked? Do you see what Job is saying here? His friends are ignoring the awesomeness of God and the encompassing power of God. They're trying to limit it to one particular thing and one particular principle to which it should not be limited. So Job is trying now to expound upon who and all what God is to Job. And not just limited to, because by the way, has he already searched himself? And could he find something, if you will, worthy of this act upon his life? And by his own words, he said no, right? And so you have to understand, he's also trying to make sense of all this. And this is the answer that he has found, that God is God. And God works this way with the just, with the wicked, with nature, with the animals, with the fowls, with the fish, with all of it. And so he says these things, and then he kind of asks a question. He says in verse 9, who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this. So God, he says, God has put this all in motion, gentlemen. God has done this. And who are you to say that this is only what God does? And then he says, with the ancient is wisdom, and in length of days, understanding. With him is wisdom and strength. He hath counsel and understanding. Okay, so he's talking about people who have understanding, experience, and wisdom, and counsel, and understanding, and strength, right? And length of day. He says, the ancients. So he says, basically, guys, you're too young to know it all. And maybe he's even saying, I'm too young to know it all. And don't forget what he said at the beginning here. He said in verse 3, but I have understanding as well as you. I am not inferior to you. Yea, who knoweth not such things as these? He's like, I know just as much as you know about this. But he said, there are some that know more than we know. There are some that have lived longer, they've experienced more, and they know God better than we do. And by the way, we can learn from those who have spoken before of these things. Now, I don't know to what extent the scriptures that these men had in their day. I have no idea. Okay? Maybe they didn't have any of these type scriptures. Because remember, if you will, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, okay, are given credit by Moses for writing those out. Now, he got those stories and things from the past, you understand that. So there must have been some writings, and now we know all of the scriptures are given by inspiration of God. So, you know, God's going to help him fill in the gaps there of what he wants put in. But don't forget that Moses also was taught in a real education setting. All right? And Egypt has always been known as far as gathering information. They were that just that kind of people. Okay? So, I don't know what Bildad, Eliphaz, Zophar, and Job had to their disposal as far as the scriptures go. But they did have people like these people, these ancients, that did have wisdom and counsel and knowledge and understanding. And by the way, Job is now accusing his friends of not going to these people before their own judgment, if you will. They're just pulling this out of their experience. That Job, God only destroys the wicked. So therefore you must be wicked. Okay, that's what they're stuck on. And that's what he's trying to expose. So if you look here, he says, behold, he breaketh down in verse 14, and it cannot be built again. He shutteth up a man, and there can be no opening. Behold, he withholdeth the waters, and they dry up. Also he sendeth them out, and they overturn the earth. With him is strength and wisdom. The deceived and the deceiver are his. Okay, so he's talking about God here. And he's talking about the omnipotence, the sovereignty, the power of God, how he's the one that's divinely in control. This is God. And the ancients have seen more of this than you have. Very nature has experienced more of this than you have. And so he's going on that particular thought process as he's talking to his friends. Now, take a look over at Romans chapter 8, if you would please. Romans chapter 8. So Job is deferring, if you will, to the wisdom that he may not know, you understand. Because God is infinite and we are finite, okay? So over here in Job chapter 8, let's look here. Let's go verse 16 here. The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Okay, so he's making some comparisons here, Paul is, right? Between saved people and lost people. So I want you to think about what Job is trying to say to his friends
We have to realize, why doesn't God just completely obliterate the wicked every time? Because he wants them to be saved. I've from this pulpit, I've told you before, and I'll tell you again. God is a God of redemption and recovery. And let me just ask you this question. Does utterly destroying or tearing down always bring people to repentance? Now, what does Jude say? And on some, having compassion, making a difference. Others save with fear, right? So it says there are different... Those of you that have children or have had children, or those of you that were a child, all the rest of you, I guess it doesn't apply to you, okay? I think I got everybody there, all right? Did the same methods work with everybody as far as how to deal with a child? Some you could speak roughly to. Some you can't. I've found that out as a dad. I have some that if you just look at them funny, they turn into a pile of goo. And some of them, I could beat with a 2x4 and they wouldn't turn into a pile of goo. You know, thank you for laughing. You've all dealt with those. So why would you say that all God cares about is destroying the wicked? Now, I'm not saying that he's not. You understand that. But doesn't God want the wicked to turn? He does. So one could say, well, you know what, Bildad, Zophar, Eliphaz? Just as much as God does things, if you will, through the earth, the different storms and things, you know, forest fires are important. Yeah, they're destructive. But what happens afterwards? Life. And sometimes it's necessary. We maybe don't like it, but those things, but who are we to judge? That part of the country, they deserve that forest fire, you know, because they're God's judging them. What? Why? That doesn't make any sense. And that's what Job is saying. Talk to the ancients. He's like, we groan, they groan. There's the idea of salvation and there's a whole different thing going on here that you guys are completely unaware of. And folks, we need to be aware. We don't need to be fools. We need to be, if you will, like the ancients. And I know many things just come from experience. And boy, or as a person that's close to me knows, and hopefully she's watching right now, boy, howdy, are they finding out. Miss Robbie always says, boy, howdy. Now, the ancients, their wisdom, their length of days and understanding, their strength and wisdom, their counsel and understanding, they have seen God break down things that can't be built again. They've seen how he shuts up a man and there can be no opening. He withholdeth the waters and they dry up. Also, he sendeth them out and overturned the earth. I mean, he's saying some of these things have been seen and we haven't seen them. He says, with him is strength and wisdom, and the deceived and deceiver are his. He leadeth counselors away spoiled and maketh judges fools. He looseth the bond of kings and girdeth the loins with a girdle. He leadeth princes away spoiled and overthroweth the mighty. He removeth away the speech of the trusty and taketh away the understanding of the aged. So he goes through all these things, and what does it boil down to? My ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Folks, we have to understand that our God is a great God. And now Job's going to continue. We're going to hit some of these things in these verses here. But go over to James chapter 5 real quick. And we'll close with this tonight. But I hope you understand that as Job is speaking here, he is trying to reason with his friends. about the vastness and, if you will, not able to know God like they think they know God, because He is God and what He is all about. James chapter 5, look at verse 1. He says, "Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rest of them shall be a witness against you and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days." By the way, in that particular thing he's talking about, these people had gathered all this wealth. They've, if you will, been prospered by God here on this earth, but he says it's all worthless. So Zophar, Bildad, and Eliphaz are thinking that this is prosperous, but it's not. Right? And Job's saying, you say that God, I'm showing you that God's prospering these people, but he's really not prospering them. Because look what it says. "Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord Sabaoth. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until we receive the early and latter rain." So he's talking about judgments coming, and how God is going to judge the wicked. But it appears, for a time, that they're not being judged, and that they're being prospered by the hand of God. Just like it appears that God is punishing Job, but he's not really punishing Job. It will be revealed in God's time, just like the judgment will be revealed in his time against the wicked. And so he's basically, if you will, easily dispelling the philosophy of his friends. That, Job, you must be extremely wicked because of how God is punishing you. And that's just not the case. And Job brings out some great points here about our God and the wisdom and the power, the sovereignty, the omnipotence, the strength of our great God.